A 30 Moment with Don Imus.
Ronnie McDonald's.
Hi, McDonald's hamburgers?
Yes, it is.
This is Sergeant Kirkland of the Air National Guard, and I'd like to get some lunches to go if I possibly could.
We're not open for another 2 hours, sir.
Well, what time would it be? About 10 o'clock you'd open?
Oh, 10:30, sir.
Yeah, well, I wondered if I can give the order now. I need quite a few, and stop by this afternoon and pick them up.
Well, I'm just cleaning up. I'm the assistant manager.
Like to get, if I could, 1,200 hamburgers. 1,200 hamburgers is what we'd like to get. We got a troop movement scheduled, one with the local colleges, and like to just get some lunches to go.
Just a moment. I'm going to have to ask my... could you hold on for a second?
Yeah,
Sergeant, fine. Just a moment, sir. There's a guy here who's a sergeant with the National Guard, and he wants 1,200 hamburgers.
Hello?
What should I do?
Hello? Yeah, listen, what do you think?
Well, we don't have enough meat or the buns for 1,200 hamburgers.
Well, can't you get some from the other stores?
I guess
that's the government, you know.
Yes, sir. I'll have to do that, sir.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you just take the order and then get them as soon as you can, and I'll call you back in an hour, sir, okay?
That would be good, sir.
All right, we need... Huh?
You want...
1,200 hamburgers. Now, listen, on 300 of those, I want you to hold the mustard, but put on plenty of mayonnaise and lettuce.
Yeah.
And I don't want any onions on those. And on 200... Well, no, make that 201. I want you to hold the mayo and lettuce, but lay on the mustard and make those medium rare. And if on the first 300... Let's see. On the first 300, if you can cook 275 of those rare with onions and mustard and mayo and no lettuce.
Rare.
You got that so far?
Yeah.
No lettuce. Then we want 250 just plain.
Right.
With no mustard or mayonnaise or lettuce or onions. Well, wait a minute. You can put lettuce on three of those and cook those medium well with no butter on the buns. And can we get some chocolate shakes for everybody? Hello?
Hi, this is Sean Hollywood Hamilton. And you know, by the time radio and records was born, rock and roll had already been alive for like 20 years. During the 50s, AM was the only game in town, and teenagers newly armed with transistor radios grabbed onto the music for dear life. The 50s had Bill Haley, Little Richard, Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and then Elvis and Buddy Holly. And even as American Bandstand brought us rock and roll into our living rooms, we had no idea that a Pan Am flight from London would bring us Beatles and change music forever. The British Invasion came in the 60s, and then there was Motown, Dylan, Sgt. Pepper, Jimi Hendrix, and Woodstock. Rock and roll was coming of age, and so was FM in stereo. Here's an audio snapshot of the first 20 years of rock and roll.
30 record flashback.
Long, long time ago.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Oh, the times, they are a-changing.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
I'd love to turn you
lights fade from every room.
Imagine there's no heaven. The day the music dies.
Here's a 30 thought.
At night, clear channel radio stations, which meant something different in those days. You know, you can't say clear channel now without it meaning the company, but stations would sign off and have the frequency to themselves. And CKLW from Windsor, Ontario, which was a Detroit station, and KBW from Buffalo, and WoWo from Fort Wayne, and BZ from Boston would come booming into, you know, the transistor that, like every kid who's in, I think, of a certain generation in radio, you had the transistor in bed with you at night.
It was the year of the Beatles, it was the year of the Stones, the year after JFK. We were staying up all night and giving our days away.
By 1964, America was ready for something new.
We were four guys that I met Paul and said, do you want to join me band, you know? And then George joined. And then Ringo joined. We were just a band who made it very, very big, that's all.
But of course it was more than that. And Top 40 Radio, like a teenager in love, fell all over itself.
Oh, slow down, baby. Oh, you're too much.
The reason that there were these hundreds of girls screaming their heads off and fainting wasn't because he was on Ed Sullivan. It's because they've been hearing the music for like the last 6 months on the radio.
Steve Allen.
Scabadoo-badoo.
Sing along with the Beatles and W.A. Beatles see in New York Town.
Well, come on, pretty baby, won't you walk with me?
For a late on-the-scene report, here is WABC News Director Jim Gordon.
One of the most fascinating, if not frightening, aspects of the Beatlemania, the Beatle impact on America and other countries as well, is the noise. Not the noise made by the singers, that's a matter of record. The noise made
The British invasion turned ABC's New York flagship into W.A. Beatles C. While across town, 1010 Wins jock Murray the K got the last laugh when George Harrison crowned him the fifth Beatle. Detroit, the Motor City, once only known for its assembly lines, was suddenly famous for the Motown sound. And had you been there and listening to Keener, you might have heard a young Gary Stevens.
Bobby Freeman, number 21 this week on Keener, 10 minutes after 6 on the Gary Stevens Show.
Keener, 1-3 Weather Tower.
Cool tonight. The low's going to be 60. Tomorrow, sunny, a little warmer. The high, 80. WKNI temperature in Detroit right now on the Gary Stevens Show, 82. Now, on Keener, from the WKNI Music Guide this week, here's the song that's rated
number one this week, The Supreme. Where Did I Love Go?
Baby, don't leave me.
Meanwhile, Bill Drake was polishing his chops in Fresno and San Diego, getting ready to turn Los Angeles into Boss Angeles.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. was the birth of the Boss. At that time, with the start of the Real Don Steele Show, this sneak preview of KHJ Boss Radio quietly began. Now, during this dress rehearsal, make that dial decision. Check out the radio stations of Los Angeles. Then listen to the music margin here at KHJ, originators of Boss Radio. The station that's happening.
93 KHJ.
The Seekers on KHJ Radio 93. 12 minutes from now will be the Gary Max Show. I'll never find another you.
KHJ debuted on May 3rd, 1965, and was number one within 5 months.
KHJ presents another exciting glimpse of a living legend in the making. The Summer of the Big Kahuna. The workings of Polynesian magic are bizarre indeed. One afternoon, boss jock Gary Mack found a strange new disc in the KHJ record vault. It bore a label he had never seen before. Gary put the mysterious record on the turntable in the boss jock's lounge and heard a message pronounced in a beautiful feminine voice, but in a tongue unknown to him. It took the worldwide anthropophilism of the real Don Steele to interpret it.
The Big Kahuna arrives at Los Angeles International Airport at 5:40 p.m. on May 23rd, 1966. Be there with a festival of welcome and put the entire facilities of Boss Radio at the disposal of the Big Kahuna. 10-4.
Gary Mack blew his mind and immediately called a meeting of all boss jocks. Stay tuned to Boss Radio for another episode in the adventuresome trip of
the Big Kahuna. 93 KHJ.
The Drake format became the buzz of the industry, and faster than you can say hitbound, spread to the other RKO stations, each hopeful that lightning would strike again.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the all-time top 300
WRKO.
Boston.
AM and FM. It's 7:32 on the J.J. Jeffrey Show, and here's the song that you voted. Number 236.
Gotta see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can?
Well, the format itself is designed just to clean everything out, all of the unnecessary talk.
Bill Drake.
And I figured that the people that tune into radio, the music stations, wanted to hear music, and we wanted to play the most music and the best music. That was the entire concept, and to do away with all the garbage.
He's right, thought number-starved radio execs, and they flew into L.A., camped out in hotel rooms, and started taping and taking notes, all hoping to figure it out. Take it home and win big.
I mean, Drake wrote the Bible for me. I still refer back to memos that he wrote and things that he practiced.
Scott Shannon.
The class of Robert W. Morgan, the excitement of the real Don Steele, the brevity of all three of them. That changed the face of American radio.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Robert W. Morgan.
KHJ Los Angeles.
I don't believe it's happening to me, man. Is this for real? Did I really get up in the middle of the night again? 6 o'clock in the nitty-gritty city. My name is Sue. How do you do?
More music, KHJ.
6:03 in the Robert W. Morgan.
In the what?
In the Robert W. Morgan, man. Sounds weird to hear that on a radio, doesn't it? Just to show the no hard feelings, I'll dedicate this record to Charlie Tuna.
The real Don Steele.
Soon, then.
93 KHJ.
Hey, boss, radio reminds hello, happening winners. Your invitations and sweatshirts will be mailed next week. Turtle.
Imagine me and you. I do.
In Los Angeles, 66 degrees.
Double your savings, double and more. Get double the discounts at thrifty drugstores.
93 KHJ, $1 million weekend.
Love, not war, baby. Love makes it. Love, my little red book. At 810 KHJ, hello, happening time on $1 million weekend on your humble live show for a fabulous Friday night. Get set to blow your mind.
More music, KHJ.
If you need me,
come.
Why don't you call me?
But as so often happens, jealous competitors tried to find fault with the format. Stories spread about flashing hotlines and chairs wired to shock disc jockeys that dared to talk more than 10 seconds. Not true, says Scotty Brink.
Well, I was at KHJ with Ron Jacobs. So KHJ was probably the most disciplined radio station I had ever encountered in my life. Now, when I say disciplined, that doesn't mean that we had no freedom, because we had a lot more freedom than people ever dreamed. It was Robert W. Morgan. It was the real Don Steele. It was Humble Harv. These are very highly identifiable personalities, not just by virtue of style, but substance.
As the Drake format cleaned competitors' clocks from coast to coast, a Pittsburgh programmer named John Rook got the nod from ABC to take over one of the biggest signals in America, WLS Chicago. And with his arrival, the top 40 war between LS and its archenemy WCFL heated up again.
2 o'clock this afternoon, it's the Larry Lujack Show. All yours on WLS, the Big 89.
89 WLS.
Bit Parader. Extra, 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 extra.
11:51 LS Pulse Music Time and the Art Roberts Show. These are the grassroots Midnight Confessions.
Gold weekend, Dick Biondi with you. Sunny today with a high of 3 to 5 above. Here comes some bubblegum music. Everybody start chewing now.
Top 40 wars raged on. But by 1967, there were some just not taken by it all. Perhaps a number one record that spring, Frank Sinatra's Something Stupid, was the last straw.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me.
Or maybe what fueled the fire was new music by groups like The Doors and Buffalo Springfield. Then, at 6 p.m. on April 7th, former Top 40 disc jockey Tom Big Daddy Donahue opened the mic at an FM station in San Francisco and changed music radio forever.
Good evening. My name is Tom Donahue. I have a couple of hours of those wonderful little things that Thomas Edison worked out. Phonograph records.
It's a long song, but you ought to think about, for instance, all the miles and miles of literature just have been written about that one song. Bob Dylan. And Sad Eyed Lady, The Lowlands, Steph Ponick on KSAN till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Here's the Moody Blues.
They played music in sets. They didn't sound like disc jockeys.
Instead of having somebody kind of jive you around and tell you what to think, these were mavens who shared something that they had discovered.
Frank Cody.
FM had a leg up because there was so much creativity in the music that was that the programmers on FM gravitated towards. So it was just sort of like a school of fashion. It's just like, I think just Top 40 just fell out of fashion.
The people came and listened. Some of them came and played. Others give flowers away. Yes, they did.
But of course, it wasn't that simple.